Welcome to the Spin Axis Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
I'm Brian Manzella.
We've got another guest with us, Brian Manzella, famous golf coach. I want to thank you for coming on the show. Appreciate you being here. I
appreciate being asked a ton. Me and Eric go back a long way.
Long time.
Too long to think about.
That's right.
Well, that's awesome. So we were going
to... Many years and many pounds ago.
Yes.
Fortunately for Brian, in the right direction. For me, not so much, but...
Just balancing each other out.
Yeah, that's right.
I like it. So
Brian's going to do something humanly impossible and talk about the last 20 years and the future 20 years of golf instruction. And we're just going to go in 20 minutes. So strap in.
Well, you know, I thought you asked me for a topic and I thought, well, you know, we've known each other about 20 years. So it's like, okay, mm-hmm. where was the, not necessarily golf instruction, but the swing, right? Because I remember in the early days of the Golf Channel having like, you know, what is now the Korn Ferry Tour, whatever it was, Nike or whatever.
Right.
And that's back in the day when I was, you know, in Louisville and me, Chris Hamburger, who became the head pro at Valhalla. And I was a general manager where they played the opposite field event, British Open at Hurstbourne, and Michael Finney, who I don't speak to anymore. We were all in the same room together watching, you know, the Golf Channel. And they would pretty much, the trick was they would watch me watch like Golf Academy Live because I would like be throwing eggs at the screen and they thought it was funny.
My wife forbid me from watching certain programs on the Golf Channel.
But this is just three guys that were all as single as you could possibly be. But, you know, like it wasn't the only thing on and you would have the tournaments. And what was very interesting to me was the swings that I was seeing in the tournaments didn't look like what everybody was talking about, you know, in golf at the time. I don't know, you know, thinking about the time factor, this is before the internet era.
Yep.
So all you really had, you know, was going to the PGA show and the teaching summit. That was your national exposure. And then you'd have like the local section thing or somebody would come in town and had nothing to do with the PGA and do a clinic and maybe you would go. But I found that interesting. So it's not really, you know, the teaching per se is like the swings. Like the swings were, they looked a certain way. And then all of a sudden, you know, basically in the next 10 years, they shrunk. So there was this shrinkage era in the early 2000s, you know, stack and tilt. Don't shift your weight. Don't lift your arms. Morad, you know, Morad was a big thing in Louisville now, big, you know, because of Jody Mudd. So, you know, I was always given lessons of people practicing with tees under their arms and they couldn't hit down on the ball. I'm not saying you can't hit down on the ball with tees under your arms, but you see what I'm saying? So
yep.
The swing shrunk and then all of a sudden, you know, people started making bigger swings because now distance became more of a thing. And you know, leading up to the last like 10 years, to me, the biggest change has been how hard everybody swings.
Yep.
So if you just look at the TrackMan era, I remember when I got TrackMan 14 years ago, and you would have these questions. I don't get these anymore because I don't really spend that much time at the golf course. But my whole career, I would get these questions. Can you take a look at this guy, gal, right? Who a few of us are thinking about sponsoring on a tour and you're going to like give us, you know, the teacher's view. You think the swing's any good or whatever. And I remember in the early days of TrackMan, like you needed to have like 160 ball speed. If you didn't have 160 ball speed, you couldn't play the tour. It sounds kind of ridiculous now, right? 160 ball speed. Like
yep.
Everybody's got 160 ball speed with like a driving iron, right? So
yeah.
That's a big change. And it wasn't just athletics. It looks like people are swinging that hard now and you can't do shrunken swings and swing hard. Doesn't mean you can't have your head still. Nicholas kept his head pretty still and hit it pretty far. But I think swings basically got bigger. There was even this like little period where everybody's grip got stronger and then all of a sudden they got weaker and now it's back to strong again. Like, you know, you had everybody start to swing harder. So the grips got stronger. And then, you know, I used to like a real neutral grip in my early days. I really don't anymore. Hardly use it on anybody. If somebody plays that way, that's what you're going to do. And then you had the era where all the Morikawas came out and the grips got real weak for a little bit, and everybody had to have bold wrists to go with the weak grip. And now the Jake Knapp's come along, and everybody's got pretty strong grips and kind of soft wrists at the top, which I think is better for most people. But the trick is, okay, we know what's happened the last 20 years, right? We were there.
Yep.
The only people who won't see that are the people who don't want to see it, right? They got, you know, red glasses on or something. Doesn't, you know what I'm saying? So now the trick would be, to me, the conversation for you guys and myself here is, what's going to happen in the next 20? Because in 2 years and a couple of tournaments, you're going to be playing with a ball that's nothing like the ball everybody's been playing with for the last 15, 20 years. So
right.
I think it's going to make a giant change in the way people swing the club. And the biggest change, I think, on the front end, love to hear what you guys think, is if part of the reason the ball goes shorter is it spins more. I've heard two different camps, both very believable, both real good sources. But I talked to a young guy, you know, young 30-year-old guy, younger than me, that hits it real far and lives out in that part of California where all the companies are. And they gave him a ball to try. A couple of people at the company knew, but not everybody. But it was like, hey, you know, keep it under your hat. Well, this is like 2 years ago, so I don't have any problem saying it now on the air.
Yep.
And he said he played a 500-yard hole one way and a 480 the other way, and he thought it was about 40 yards, you know, over two shots. Everybody's talking about, well, the driver's only going to go da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, 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 but you play a 500-yard hole, like at Bethpage, where I'm going to watch the Ryder Cup, some of those par fours, you know, 500 yards plus.
510.
Yeah, yeah, so you gotta whack it twice. So if you lose 22 off the driver and 18 off your 5-iron, that's a whole, you know, that's a lot. And if it spins more, to me, it's going to bring back the draw off the tee, which just like disappeared, right? Rory does it, maybe a couple of people. Mm-hmm. But then you'll start seeing a different, to me, I mean, do you think if it spins more, is that a decent observation, you think?
Yeah,
I think it might be dependent on how they do it. I mean, there's aerodynamically, you can make a ball that doesn't carry as far without necessarily just spinning more. You know, you can make a ball that kind of doesn't fall out of the sky. That's being super dramatic about it. But there's other ways to do it besides just making it spin more, because if it was just going to spin more, I feel like you'd work around that in 20 swings. You know, you take the loft down, you'd slightly different shaft. You know, I feel like that would be worked around pretty quickly. And so I'm not entirely sure, and I honestly don't care a ton about it. You know, for amateurs, it's 5 years away. I'm not super into that yet. You know, the companies are still working on their R&D process for all this stuff. They're going to do what they can to like push it to the limit immediately again. I'm kind of holding my breath on that. To the topic about where instruction has been and where it's going, unfortunately, you have to know something about instruction to get this, because, or to have an educated guess, because you can't just say, oh, everything's like a pendulum. It swings this way. Grips might be, right? They might swing stronger and then weaker and then stronger and then weaker and something like that. But like, we don't see like Johnny Miller finishes anymore. You know, we're not going to see those again, probably.
Why not?
Not wide scale, though, do you think?
You know, I really think that I'm seeing less helicopter finishes, which to me means the shaft finishing, you know, like a helicopter blade. I see less of that now, like in the U.S. amateur. You know, it's not the Nicklaus high. You know, Nicklaus's finish was more high hands and low shaft than Miller. But,
right,
you know, and part of that was Miller's a lefty playing righty.
Yep.
Right? Nicklaus is a real right-hander.
But I'm at the big hip slide reverse C type, that the body part of the finish. We're not going to see.
It depends, right? Likely. Like now everybody hits the ball high enough because of ball speed.
Right.
So you really could sort of cover it, right, and still hit it the right height, but if they take 10 miles an hour ball speed away from people, all of a sudden now, you know, remember now, this is what nobody really understands with this ball switch. The courses are built. Anybody thinks they're going to start shorting them, they're nuts.
Right.
You're still stuck with that golf course that was more or less built, not more or less. Yes, it was built on this golf ball.
Yep.
And if all of a sudden the ball goes just a little bit shorter, and maybe
they're not
going
to move back to 6,700 yards.
Dude, that's gone, man. That's gone.
Yeah. Yep. It's done.
This episode of the Spin Axis podcast is brought to you by Smart to Move. the game changer in golf performance. Their 3D wireless force plates measure your swing from the ground up, giving coaches and players the data they need to unlock more power, consistency, and control. Lightweight, portable, and paired with an easy-to-use iOS app, smart-to-move plates make it simple to see exactly how you're using the ground and how to use it better. Myself, Eric, and soon Jason will all be coaching with them because you can't measure what you can't see. Stop guessing. Start measuring. Visit smarttomove.com to take your game to the next level.
But I think other than the ball thing, which is obvious, the level of competition now, like, you know, I read something about, you know, Nicholas was playing against plumbers, you know, the whole, you know, basketball thing.
Yep.
They're nuts, man. Like, if you went any sport and you picked the all-star team, they can play against whatever team you got now. Maybe not the all-star team now, but you get one of the Tom Brady teams, and they could play the all-star team from the 65, you know, NFL all-star team. And it's the same thing in golf. The top 10 guys, I mean, like, somebody was, you know, telling me something about, you know, how the level of competition, obviously the overall level of competition, but it was like, do you really think Lee Trevino would look at Wyndham Clark and go, get the out of here? Not just run over that. He would run over Wyndham Clark. He would look at Ray Floyd would look at Patrick Cantlay, and Patrick Cantlay would pee his pants. Let's be honest now. I saw both of them live.
Patrick Cantlay pees his pants in majors already, yeah, anyway. Okay.
But there's no doubt that the 100th best player is ridiculously better than they were 20 and 40 and 60. Not even close.
Yep.
So as this squeeze happens, right? Everybody's running this race trying to get to the two tours, you know, the ladies tour and the men's tour. They're running this race and it just keeps narrowing and narrowing and narrowing. Because there's so many more players who could play the tour coming down the pike. I used to say you have to have like one thing that's world class, mm-hmm, and then one thing that's close.
Yep.
Right. And that's how you would make it. Unless you were just Tiger, it didn't make a difference. Everything was world class. But like, you can give me any player random. I'll give you David Thompson. You know, I gave him 5,000 hours of lessons. And okay, he was a flukish iron player from like the 6 iron down. Flukish. He had a really good short game.
Yep.
I mean, and at times the short game was world class. So you have two world class things. You could be a 165 mile an hour ball speed guy and make $48 million. But now I look at you got to have a couple of things that are world class to be, you know, a top 10 player in the world. Like look at Jake Knapp, right? He's obviously, you know, world class hitting a driver far, right? And he's a good putter. But I mean, he would have to be a consistently great putter and a much better short iron player. So now if you look at that, look at Jake as an example, you got to have two world-class things and one that's... So what is it going to be in 10 years? Is it going to be three? You got to have three, or your short game's got to be good. You got to know more shots than the Joe Mayo 10-degree down shot, you know, whatever. But, you know, like, and how is that going to change? How is the short game going to change? Because I don't know what y'all are noticing when y'all play, but like, I played Southampton last week, which is the most, based on what people said about it before I played it and me playing it, is the most underrated golf course I ever played since the Ocean Course at Kiawa. Everybody went, Ocean Course, well, that course is great. And this course is really, really good. And it's in great shape. And the aprons, you know, like the 30 yards in front of the green, they're cut down lower than the putting greens I grew up on.
Yep.
I didn't even dream of hitting a wedge off of that stuff, right? Because, I mean, I just took my 4 hybrid, made my weak left-hand grip, and I rolled it up there about 8 feet. I tried to make it, and half the time I didn't, half the time I didn't. But the point is, that's the agronomy's getting so much better, and the greens are getting faster, and they're slopier. It's almost like there's a new type of player that's going to have to bust out of the pack. And they probably are going to have to be, unless the ball thing changes a lot, might not change this at all. You're going to have to hit it really, really far. You're going to have a world-class short game
Yep.
at the minimum. And that's going to change people's, you know, like the swings that make it to the tours.
I 100% agree. Yeah, and the one thing that they're like, oh, let's roll back the ball so it's not just big hitters bombing it. And the issue is that a lot of those big hitters can hit even further. They don't hit it any further because the dispersion cone at 340, at 350 is too large. But if the ball spins more like they're saying it is, well, the ball won't spin offline as much. So now they can just ramp it up 3-5 miles per hour, where the guy that's can barely get 160, 165, he doesn't have another gear. And so he's just going to drop off, and who's going to fill that spot is going to be a young kid from the Corn Ferry Tour that's got 185 ball speed, and he's still 18, 20, and he's going to gain muscle and keep hitting it farther. And so the conundrum that I see with that is you're going to lose a little bit of like the skill factor. And this is one of the reasons they're like trying to do it, right? They're like, oh, we don't want guys, you know, just bombing it out there. Well, if I can hit the same distance, just like you're talking about with hitting a draw, which is absolutely correct, right? And it's like, oh, if the ball spins, let's say 800 RPMs more, well, yeah, if you go from hitting a fade to a draw and you drop that instantly, well, now you're hitting the same distance. What are they doing with that other than screwing the manufacturers? That's not going to fill the void.
You know, I disagree with a lot of it. I've heard that take. I won't say where I heard it. Not a big fan of the guy. Everybody's got all this extra yardage. Yeah, everybody. Yeah, nobody is swinging. In other words, when Bryson does his Bryson, I'm going to swing as hard as I can swing. He looks like a guy trying to swing as hard as he can, like a long driving contest swing, right? He was the first guy I ever saw do it, like really, you know, successfully in tournaments. I don't think everybody's got that gear. When I played the little bit that I played, I liked playing the longer court. Now, at some point, it's too long. You can't reach enough greens. It doesn't matter. But I think it's going to help the medium hitters because all of a sudden, the Jake Knapps, not that, you know, I love Jake, you know, I hope I get a chance to teach him again. But the point is, he plays a course like, you know, they almost won here at the Zurich, you know, the team tournament. He hits it so far, he's hitting little flip shots to all the greens. And I don't care if he's just an okay wedge player. He hits 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 120 yard shots against David Toms hitting right. Eights and seven irons. It ain't fair. Right. All of a sudden, if the ball goes shorter for both of them and he has to hit 8 and 9 iron and David hits 5 and 6, that's Jake's ass. You see what I'm saying? In other words, like, I think it's going to have a different effect. And the guys who could draw it, but don't, because obviously you guys know, because y'all are really good teachers. You can't really draw the damn thing. Like I can't. I mean, I try to hit a fade and I draw it accidentally. That works out pretty good. No trouble on the left. But I mean, like standing there trying to draw it, the ball just doesn't spin enough and everybody's hitting the same shot off the tee, except McIlroy. That's the giant advantage. But there'll be a bunch of people. I mean, it won't happen overnight, but there'll be a bunch of people who start drawing the ball. I just don't think everybody's got as much extra. Everybody's got an extra gear. You know, like I can get to 105, but I'm going to hurt myself doing it. Top a shot trying to do
Yeah,
it.
And whether it's like playable on the PGA Tour, though, right? And whether it's playable on the PGA Tour, Tony Finau has extra yardage in the tank, but it might be all over the place and he can't score.
It's going to go crooked with the short ball too. That's why he doesn't do it.
Right.
I will see. Right. But I disagree with that. I think it's going to help the medium hitters.
Yeah. I would say, let me rephrase that. I would say that there's between, if I was throw out a random number, let's say 15 to 20% of the longer drives, the longer guys on tour and the younger guys that are like maybe could hit it further but can't, they have that gear. And then the bottom 20 on the PGA Tour that are already short hitters, they don't have that gear. And that's where I'm like, well, they're just going to dissolve into nothing.
As you may have guessed, Jason and I have about 20 more minutes with Brian, but we're going to split it into two episodes to keep our episodes at about 20 minutes like we like. You can find us in the meantime at thespinaxis.com and on social media at The Spin Axis. Talk to you next week.